Thank God for a prayer meeting, amen. I learned early on in my walk with God that you never go beyond your prayer life. You can impress men with a lot of things, but you can't impress God in heaven except if you have true communion with the Father through Jesus Christ, amen. It's just a blessing to be here. 9 months ago in March in the convention in Beaumont, God dealt my heart concerning Europe. I didn't go with that intention, didn't know anything about what God was doing, but God spoke some things to my heart, and I'm just blessed that 9 months later I'm in England preaching the word of God. Amen. Just a blessing. So blessed. Amen. We've had great hospitality. Brother Keith, his wife Candace, Brother Francis. Amen. Just a blessing. They're going to encourage our hearts and our lives. Just a blessing to be here. Amen. God wants to talk to us this morning about prayer. Amen. Again, there's nothing more important in your walk with God than your life of prayer. Nothing more important. You'll never go beyond your prayer life. You must be that house of prayer. Prayer cannot be something we do. It must be become something we become. Christianity is not something we do. We are so relegated in this hour that we live to doing Christianity. It no longer allow the Spirit of God to make us that child of God that God had ordained for us to be when we truly got born again. Amen. But God wants to talk to us this morning about prayer. Amen. Take your Bibles out this morning just for a few minutes. Turn to the book of John, John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Father, I thank you for the privilege, Lord. God, we need to hear from you today, God. We don't need to hear from man. We need to hear from heaven, God. Lord, anoint every word we speak, God. Lead us and guide us by your Spirit, God. Hide us behind that cross, God. May every man, woman, boy, and girl in this house today, God, have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church. Deal with our hearts today, God. Deal with us today, God, in this house. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 2. As we read these scriptures here in John chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 21, most of you are very familiar with them, but Jesus Christ came to the temple on two occasions. And what we're going to read you this morning, the two cleansings that Christ came to the temple. John chapter 2 is the first cleansing. We know he came to the temple that day to cleanse the house of God. And in Matthew chapter 21, at the end of his ministry, he came again. Two cleansings. You may understand that, but get that in your heart and your spirit. We've been taught and we know that the end is contained in the beginning. Jesus Christ teaches us a valuable lesson here. That the way his ministry started is the way it would end. And on the day of Pentecost, there was a great cleansing in the house of God. 120 men and women came to the house of God, to Jerusalem, and the power of God cleansed them for 10 days and prepared them for the coming of the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe with all my heart in these last days that same cleansing is going to come back to the house of God. He's come here this morning, this week, praise God, to cleanse our hearts. We're not to look to the outside. We're not to point our finger out there. The problem is right here. The problem's right here in my own heart, in my own life. If I'll get this house right, if I'll get this vessel right, the power of God can flow through us again and influence the outside, praise God. You must get the inside right before the outside will ever be influenced. Amen. The end is contained in the beginning. And the way we start must be the way we end. Christ started his ministry with cleansing of that temple, and he would end his ministry with a cleansing of that temple. And if we'll learn this lesson today, we stand on the threshold, I believe, of God Almighty shaking us as he's never shaken us before. A great shaking can come to England, a great shaking can come to Europe, that the power of God once again can flow through our lives onto a degenerate generation, praise God. We can see that Pentecost that we pray about this morning. We can see a mighty move of God in this land once again. Amen. John chapter 2. Again, reading with verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and disciples, and they continued there not many days. Verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house has eaten thee up. Then answered he the Jews, and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Amen. Matthew chapter 21.
We know that John chapter 2 is the first cleansing. Matthew chapter 21, as he comes to the end of his ministry, he goes into that temple again. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. And said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Amen. There's never been a time possibly the body of Christ was a great shaking that God has brought forth in these last days. I'm convinced that if you can be shaken loose, you'll be shaken in this last hour. If you can be discouraged, you will be discouraged in this last hour. But it won't be by the power of the devil, the power of the enemy, it'll be from the power of God. For God is once again looking a house of prayer. He's looking men and women of God that doesn't come to a house of prayer, but they are a house of prayer.
Yeah.
We've allowed God, the Holy Ghost, to so cleanse us that we have become so dependent upon God that we fall upon our knees once again. And we have no strength of our own. We have no ability of our own. Nothing to offer God but a vessel that God can pour His life out and through. Amen. If we allow this temple to get cleansed, like Christ spoke out here in John chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 21, there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that God won't do in and through our lives in these last days. But there must be this cleansing in our house. Amen. Jesus Christ came to John chapter 2, and he came to Matthew chapter 21 to cleanse this temple. He found something there that very bothered him, that very upset him. There was a rock hot anger. This was not an effeminate Christ. This was not a Christ that came weak-kneed and beaten down. This was a Christ of authority. This was the visible image of an invisible God. Amen. He walked down those streets that day with determination that he knew what God had called him to do. This house was to be a house of prayer. Anything less than that, anything short of that would not do. And he must go into Jerusalem. He must go into that house, and that house must be brought back to what it was supposed to be in the original. Amen. What did he find there? What has Christ found today? What has the Holy Ghost found in our own hearts and our lives? Again, I say to you, I beckon you, do not look outside these doors today. The answer lies right here in this room right here. There's enough in this room right here to turn this city, to turn this nation inside out for God. If we allow this body, the body of the Holy Ghost, the temple of God, to be right with God. He came and he found that they had made religion easy. They had simply made religion easy. If there's ever been a time in the church, in the body of Christ, that we have allowed religion to be made easy, it's the hour we live right now. We have made religion very easily. You just come as you are. I'm not talking about the sinner now. The sinner, thank God, he can come just like he is, and God can set that man free. But as a child of God, we are not to come just as we are. We are to come the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are to come the body of Christ. We are to come to get the icing put on the cake in these meetings, but we're to build that cake in our daily lives. Amen. And we're to bring something to the house of God.
Yeah.
They made religion easy. And that simply means this. If you were to go to the temple in John chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 21, as we read there, they were selling the doves and the pigeons and the rams. All you had to do was leave your house that day, walk down the streets of Jerusalem. You could go to the temple, and there you would find the money changers sitting on the outside of the temple. This was the Gentile temple, the Gentile courts. And that's what really made Christ angry and hot was the fact that he had asked that nation of Israel to be a blessing to all nations. But they have become self-absorbed with their own self, self-absorbed with their own worship. And so they sat there in that temple that day. They were not concerned about anyone else except themselves. So you could leave home that day. You could walk down the streets of Jerusalem. You could go to the temple. And there were the money changers sitting outside. They would change that Roman coin to a Jewish coin, because we know that the emperor of that place couldn't cross that threshold into that temple. You didn't have to bring anything from the house of God. You didn't have to bring a dove or a lamb. All you had to do was come as you are. Just leave the house, get up, walk to the house of God. No preparation made, no seeking God early. You just come to the temple. Anything you needed, you could buy outside that court. You could buy that lamb. You could buy that pigeon. You could buy that dove outside the court, walk in and offer up the sacrifice. We see so much of that today in what we call the church. People come to the house of God and they don't bring very much with them. But God has called these meetings this week, praise God, to do a work in our hearts and our lives. That we no longer just come and we beg of God, but we bring something to the mix.
Yeah.
We bring something to the house of God. Amen. What made Christ so red hot angry that day? Well, we know that Christianity is the daily life. Christianity is living that daily life. They could get up in the morning, they could walk to the house of God, they didn't have to bring that lamb. They could just buy that lamb outside the temple and walk in and offer it up as a sacrifice. But Christ knew that house was going to be a house of prayer. It would only be a house of prayer as we allow that cross to deal with our daily lives. As we rise early in every hour of every day, we're dependent upon the power of God in our lives. You see, it was altogether different to have to go home that day and get up that morning and clean that pen of that lamb. Let's say you're going to bring a lamb to the house of God. Well, if you own that lamb, that means you had to get up that morning, you had to clean that pen. You had to feed that lamb every day of your life. You had to nurture that lamb. You had to make sure that pen was clean. You had to feed that lamb. Let me tell you something. When you bring that lamb to the house of God to offer the sacrifice, you'll appreciate what God has done in your daily life. But oh no, they didn't have to do that. They just come to the house of God as they were. They could buy that lamb right there. They didn't have to clean out the dung of that pen. Oh no, they didn't have to clean out that dung. Just come by that lamb, offer it up. Let me tell you something, church. If we through our daily lives have allowed that cross to do a work in our lives, we know how precious the mercy of God is.
Yes.
We know how precious the grace of God is.
Yes.
We know what it is to get up in the morning. That pen is not clean. That heart's not where it ought to be. But we seek God, hallelujah. We seek God, and God the Holy Ghost comes, and He cleanses that house. He cleanses that temple, praise God. And we go to the house of God, and we come to a prayer meeting, and we offer something to God.
Yes.
We know where that sacrifice came from. It was God Almighty that touched our hearts and touched our lives, praise God. It angered Christ. It bothered Him. And they could come and simply made religion easy. Religion had been devalued. There was no passion. There is no passion just to come to the house of God. There is no passion just to walk in and sit or just pray a few minutes. But when you come dependent upon God, hallelujah, you will come with a passion.
Hallelujah.
You will come with a vibration. You will come with a desire in your heart that God, the power of the Holy Ghost, can move through that temple again. That's what we need this week. We need to come like we never had before. This house must be a house of prayer. We must do our homework in our daily lives. We must pick up our cross. We must deny ourselves. We must be men and women of prayer. Not what we do, but what we become, praise God. And we bring that to the house of God. And we offer that as a sacrifice to God that the Holy Ghost can move. Christ was angry that day, a red hot anger, because they made religion easy. And He came to that temple that day. And He came just like we're supposed to come. I said He came to that temple that day the same way we're supposed to come to the house of God. If He's a visible image of the invisible God, then we're to be the representative of Jesus Christ. We're to represent Him here on this earth. We are the body of Christ. We are that church, praise God, that He has left here. We're to come to the house of God the same way He did. And God made this great real to me in my own personal life. I don't know about you, but the last several months I found myself praying more than ever. God, cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart. There's many times in the hours of the day I don't have my prayer list, but I'm praying, God, cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart. Every breath I breathe, this very air is permeated with the power of darkness, but it just affords an opportunity for a great light to shine, praise God. It will keep our hearts and our minds cleansed. Jesus came to that temple that day, but He looked down that street of Jerusalem. This is what God made real to me. He wants to speak to see your heart today. You say, maybe you're not like me this morning. Maybe you never get distracted. Maybe you walked into a house of prayer like this, with prayer meeting, there's no distraction in your heart and your mind. But let me tell you something, if you're after God, every bit of hell is after you. I said the powers of darkness are after you. But let me tell you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is greater than any power of hell that will come to your heart and to your life. Amen. Jesus looked down that street that day, and he saw the temple was not what it ought to be. And here's what God showed me most of it in my own life. Many times, we'll see things that aren't like they ought to be. And we start down that street, and we get distracted. That's what Christ refused to do. He walked down the middle of that street today, and everybody was full of him. This prayer request, this need, this problem, and all of it could have been justified. He said, oh, no. No, look. If I can get to the center of the problem, if I can correct the sin of the problem, then it'll blow to the outside. You see, we come to the house of God, and we're so distracted with so many things from the outside. We do this, we do that, and we do the other. But this day, Christ taught us a great example. He said, when you come as a house of prayer, you put aside this, you put aside that. You get to the center of that city, you get to that temple that's in the center of that city, and if you'll deal with the problem that's in the middle of that city, there'll something happen in that heart that outflows those around you. Praise God. He's telling us, church, you must deal with the center of the problem. He walked down that street that day, and no man could pull on him. No demon could distract him. No good intention could distract him. He said, I will go to the house of God this day. I will cleanse this house. It will be called a house of prayer again. I'm telling you boldly today, God is going to come to cleanse these houses again. But we must not be distracted with the peripheral. We must let God, the Holy Ghost, get in the center of the problem, and that is our hearts. The problem still lies in the heart, saints, but thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost as it walks right in the middle of our lives and cleanses us, praise God, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. We need to be cleansed once again that God may use us in these last days. Do you hear me, church? Do you hear me, church? Oh, I know we've been to a prayer meeting today, and we're going to leave this service. But the last time I checked, the power of God I fell out there. There's not a Pentecost out there. It's a start here, praise God. It's a start here. And we must refuse to leave the same way we came.
Amen,
Jesus Christ walked in that temple that day. And overturned those money changers and those papers. I say overturned. Thank God for the power of casting down and overturning. I said thank God for the power of casting down and overturning. We need that power once again. We need that power back in the house of God once again. Cast it down and overthrow it. The house was a mess. I said the house was a mess that day. It looked a mess. We don't like to look a mess anymore. We want it all together, all prim and proper. We want everything in order. We've been taught by the playboys in the pulpit that everything is perfectly in order. You have all things together. But God came that day because he realized when Christ came because that house must be a house of prayer. And when he got finished in that house, it looked a proverbial mess. I said they were running tables, changers, everywhere.
Yes,
there was things thrown in that house. It didn't look like much to the world. It didn't look like much to that preacher that had everything together. But the God, I said to God, he was prepared to move once again. That house looked a mess. You that God had been in that house, praise God. And the power of the Holy Ghost was about to move in that place again. He came and overthrew and cast down. And when he did that, there was a great stirring among the Pharisees, those religious people. They asked him a question. They said, what sign show us that? If you look in John chapter 2, let me just read that to you again. He said in John chapter 2, verse 18, then answered the Jews and said unto him, Jesus never asked a question, but they answered him. What were they answering here? What question did these Jews answer? They answered him. They weren't answering a question. They were answering his actions. He had asked nothing. He had asked nothing that day. He didn't ask permission to go into that house and cleanse it. He asked nothing. They answered his actions. They said, by what sign you show us that you have the right to come to our house and turn this place upside down? What sign do you have? Show us a sign. Jesus will later say there's only one sign given to an evil and adulterous generation. That's the sign of Jonas. 3 days in the well, the belly of that well. 3 days. And what was Christ speaking about? He tells us here what he was talking about.
He said, you destroy this temple. And in 3 days I'll raise it up.
Yeah.
He said, what sign am I showing you? You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they looked at him and said, what do you mean? 46 years we've been building this temple. We've been coming to church 46 years. We've been coming to prayer meetings 46 years. We've been giving our offerings 46 years. We've been intense. We've been committed for 46 years. How dare you come and turn our house of prayer upside down? And many times when I preach this, this is the feeling I get. Come on, preacher. We've been to prayer meetings. We're here. We're committed. We're here this morning. We're praying. Back off of this preacher. Oh, no. Christ said it may be good, but it's not what God intended. And God Almighty will not stop till His Son is glorified in heaven. Praise God. He said, what sign do I show you? He said, there's only one sign of any generation. It's the sign of death and resurrection. Death and resurrection.
Yes.
Do you hear me, church? He said, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What was he saying? The only sign I will give you is the sign of death and resurrection. The sign of the cross. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The sign of the cross.
Yeah.
What does that tell us? It matters not what the problem is in the house. It doesn't matter what evil you see. It doesn't matter what frailty, what flaw. The cross of Calvary is the answer to everything in our lives. Praise God. It will cleanse us. It will set things straight. Hallelujah. Do you hear me, church, this morning? If God is going to move across Europe again, it's going to be because you and I put that cross right back in the middle of our day.
Amen.
The cross. What about that cross? The cross. You see, if the cross had been active in their lives, they wouldn't have come and bought that sheep. They wouldn't have come and bought that lamb. They'd been preparing that lamb at home. They'd been raising that lamb at home. They'd been tending that sheep, that pen. They'd have cleaned that pen every day. They'd have fed and nurtured it. He said, if you had a life of prayer, he said, you'd have got it this morning. Praise God. You'd have nurtured that life of prayer yesterday. You'd have had that cross in the middle of your daily life, praise God. And that cross would have brought great effect to your heart and to your life. You'd have got it this morning, he said, and you'd have cleaned that pen. You'd have nurtured that sheep, praise God. You'd have come to this temple and you'd offer up a sacrifice because you knew that through death, praise God, there is a death that will come to everything in our hearts and our lives that's not like Jesus Christ. Oh, that makes me want to shout. You see, I've got a long ways to go. I've been saved 30 years next month. 30 years. But I still see too much of me in this life. I still see too much of me. And the only answer is the cross of Calvary.
Yes,
too many appetites in the body of Christ. Too many desires in the body of Christ that have not been accepted. They have not been crucified by that cross. We've accepted everything into the house of God. And we said that God understands. And we justify it because we come to prayer meetings. We give our money. We're committed to Christ. And oh no, my Father wants to move in this house. My Father wants to pour out His Spirit in this house. He said, I'll give you one sign. It's the sign of the cross of Calvary. And it'll bring death to everything in our lives that's not like Christ. And it'll bring resurrection power. I said it'll bring resurrection power, which is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, men and women this morning. Do you hear what we're saying? Our pastor preached last night that all God needs is a vessel. All He needs is a vessel, praise God, that are clean to that old ruddy cross. That are clean to that old ruddy cross. Not for those on the outside, but for those in here, in this own heart, and in this own life. That those things we see in our lives are not right with God, and we have them today. I said we have them today, but through the power of the cross of Calvary, this temple will get cleansed. I said this temple will be what it ought to be again, praise God. I said it overthrew and cast down. Oh, for the ability to overthrow and cast down again. I said for the ability to come to the house of prayer once again and overthrow and cast down.
Amen.
If he casts down, he'll build up. If he overthrows, he'll bring in, praise God. Our weapons are not weak, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We can come back to the house of prayer once again and we can pull down these strongholds. We can cast down. We can overturn once again, praise God. We may look like a mess, but God the Father, God the Holy Ghost will be prepared to move in our midst and flow out of this place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, church. My Lord, we travel across this ocean of great privilege.
I thought, God, how in the world did you privilege me to be here this morning? Oh, we're just vessels, feet for the natural juice we trust. But if we're anything in God, it's because that cross has been active in our daily lives. I just can't preach this cross. I just can't sing this cross. This cross must be in the center of everything I do.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying that day. You've allowed my house to be a house of marketplace. Traffic in and out. In and out of the house of God. He said, there's no real zeal here. There's no real passion. You've got to have truth, yes, but that truth must be surrounded with clarity and passion. You may not like what a preacher says. You may not really like what I may say this morning, but when you leave, you've got to know. I may not like it, but I know what he meant. There was clarity and there was passion. Jesus Christ walked down that street that day of Jerusalem. He refused to get distracted with the provincial. He walked right to the center of that city. My pastor told me that Jerusalem is in the middle of this nation, or in the middle of this universe, right in the middle of this world we know is Jerusalem. Everything north is north of Jerusalem. Everything south is south of Jerusalem. He went to the center of the problem. Oh, hallelujah. I said he went to the center of the problem. And that's what God is going to do this week. He's going to use that man of God to deal with our hearts, to come to the center of the problem. Not going out there, but right here, praise God. If I get this house right, there's nothing God can do. Nothing God can do. Nothing. He overthrew and he cast down. I said he overthrew and he cast down.
Yes.
And he made those Pharisees come. What side? Show us that. The cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. The cross of Calvary. Oh, you see, the Holy Ghost will not come apart from that cross. It never comes apart from that cross. If we're going to have a move of God in England, if we're going to have a move of God in Europe, it's going to be because a few, a remnant rose up and said, God, we're not all we thought we were. We don't have it all together. This house is not what it ought to be. Yes, I'm committed. Yes, I go to prayer. Yes, I give my money. But I'm guilty, God. I've read the book of Acts. And we don't look like that, God. We don't look like what this book says we ought to look, God. But we're not going to walk around beaten down. I don't need some humanistic compassion to put his arms around me and say, God understands. God understands you have a small church. And God understands that he's going to try, no. I don't need that. I need to grab a hold of that cross and put it right in the center of my life. And God, the Holy Ghost stirs me as I've never been stirred before to rise up and be the house of prayer that God has called us to be. If we will pray, God will hear and God will answer, praise God. And we can see Pentecost again.
Hallelujah.
Pentecost will not come apart from the cross. I said, Pentecost will not come apart from the cross of Calvary. There will be no Pentecost in England. There will be no Pentecost again in Europe apart from the cross in our lives. Jesus Christ paved the way through Calvary. We know he paved the way through Calvary for Pentecost to come. If there had not been a Calvary, there had been a Pentecost. But there was a Calvary. There was a cross. Hallelujah. And Peter finally embraced that cross. And Pentecost came, praise God. I said Pentecost came once again to the house of God. He cleansed that temple through the power of the cross. Church, hear me this morning. Oh, I know most of you know it. You got your books on your shelves at home about the cross. You sing all the right songs. We say all the right words. But there's something amiss in the house of God. There's something amiss in our hearts and our lives. But God, through the power of the resurrected Savior, is going to bring that passion back to our house. They remember that something was said about Christ. That the zeal of that house had consumed him. The zeal of that house had eaten him up, praise God. Oh, I want that zeal. I want that zeal to eat me up. Not an outward accolade, not the outward emotion, but something from the inside that stirs my heart and my life. And the only thing that's going to do that is when I fire that cross and God begins to show me things that I've not seen. Oh, no. There's things in our lives today I'm convinced that God would pull the curtain back. We would shudder. But God, the Holy Ghost, little by little, if we're yielded to the power of God, if we're broken, if we're humbled, God will do a work in our lives this week, praise God, and set us on a ground, set us on a journey, hallelujah, that we never walked on heretofore. When he got finished cleansing that house, let me tell you something, there was those on the outside that was waiting for that house to be right.
Amen.
Do you hear me, church?
Amen.
There were those on the outside that was waiting for that house to be right. If you study John chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 1, individual says, now therefore. Who's in the shadows of the temple in John chapter 2? A Nicodemus. Who was in the shadows of Nicodemus? A ruler, a teacher. But he wasn't born again. I said he wasn't saved. But he was looking at that temple, praise God. He was looking toward that church. He was looking toward that house of God. And when Jesus Christ got finished that day in the house of God, he was able to look at Nicodemus and say, sir, ye must be born again. You get the house right, praise God. The harvest will come in these last days.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
In the shadow of John chapter 2 was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was waiting for that house to be right. You see, he could have talked the Word of God for years and years. But he always thought he was fine. He said, I'm a teacher. I'm a ruler. I understand what God is saying. That day something happened. And Nicodemus said, no man can do this except if he's sent from God.
Hallelujah.
No man can do these miracles except if he's sent from God. He was looking right straight in that temple. He saw a mess. He saw it overturned. But he said, oh my God, there's hope now. There's something here that I don't have. There's something here in my life that I don't have. In the shadow of John chapter 2 was a Nicodemus that was a good man, but he wasn't born again. But out of that, Nicodemus got born again, praise God. Matthew 21, who was in the shadow of that? The sick and the children. They've been there how long? How long have the sick and the children been in Matthew 21? I don't know how long they've been there, but I can tell you this. They saw something that day. They saw the temple of mess. They saw the house of prayer that God had called to be once again. And the children came. And the sick came, praise God. They came back to the house of God because it was a house of prayer again. God is telling you and I, as we hear through the school class over and over, you get the vessel right. You get the church right, praise God. They'll come. The lost will come. The sick will come. The children will come. And we'll hear the worship in the house of God once again. Do you hear me this morning, church? We must allow Jesus Christ to come back into our hearts and our lives to bring this cleansing in this week. I said this week, not next year, not next month. We're in the last of the last days. Yeah. Jesus Christ is coming, praise God. There's a great shaking taking place, but he's a consuming fire. And in that shaking, all the false in our lives will come to the surface, but the power of that resurrected Savior will reach out, praise God, and remove all the grossness in our hearts and in our lives, that this house may be the house of God that he's called to be again. God, help us this week. I said, God, help us this week. That we allow the Spirit of God, that we don't sit and hear more sermons. Oh, I know what it is. I know I just sit there and hear somebody preach. I know what it is to get in the pulpit and preach another sermon. And it sounds good. It's not all about words. We say amen. We nod our heads, but we go home the same week after month after year. Jesus Christ said, oh no, not this time. The Nicodemus is out there. There's children out there. There's sick out there. I've got to get down the streets of Jerusalem. I can't be distracted by the sheep. I can't be distracted by the goats. I can't be distracted by this or that. I can't be distracted by all my humanistic efforts. No, I will walk down the street of Jerusalem. I will not stop till I get to that house. And I will not stop till I get to that house until I overturn everything that's not like it ought to be. It will be the house of prayer. My Father will be able to live again in this house. That's the attitude we must come this week. We must come to these prayer meetings. We must come to the attitude, God, things are not like they ought to be, but by your mercy and by your grace, we will come. We will overthrow. We will cast down. We will cleanse this temple. We will be broken and humble vessels. And allow this great cleansing to take place this week in our hearts and in our lives. No reservations. I stand today with no reservation to tell you. If anything you hear this week, when you hear the Son of God preach, if we will get the house right, if we will get the vessel right, if the church will be the church one more time, 452 million people, 50 nations in Europe, praise God, can hear once again that God is alive. That God is alive. The rich history that you have will no longer be the history of the past, but it'll be present tense, praise God. They won't talk about the riches of the past. They'll talk about you, praise God, that are full of and controlled by the power of the Holy Ghost. God can move again in England. He can move again in Europe. I said they're in the wings right now. They're in the skies right now. They're looking in this place right here. That's all we hear that y'all met in Somerset. Oh, what was this year? Oh, Brother Trendon in. Well, I wonder what happened in Somerset. Oh, I heard a few people gathered together and went to some prayer meetings. The preacher preached, but I wonder what happened. Oh, no. Jesus said, we'll have no more of that. We'll go inside that house and we'll cleanse that house because Nicodemus is waiting. The children are waiting. The sick are waiting. The lost are waiting. Praise God. You and I have got to make up our minds this week in the choice that we make. God is not going to stir. God is not going to make you. You've got to make in your daily life to pick up that cross, to deny yourself, to prepare that cake, that sacrifice at home. And sir, when you step by that house, that's tomorrow morning about 5:45, and you come to this house, you know, God, you helped me today. I prayed today. I prepared the sacrifice today. I'm going to come to the house of God, and I'm going to bring something to that house. I'm going to bring something to the house of God. Let me close with this. Jesus Christ brought something to the temple that day. I said he brought something. My God, he brought something to the house of God. Jesus Christ brought something to the house of God that day. Brother, I want to bring that to the house of God. I want to bring that zeal. I want to bring that authority to the house of God. He came with the authority to cast down and to overthrow. He came with the ability, praise God, to get that temple where it ought to be. I want to come to these prayer meetings. I want to come to this meeting this morning at 10 o'clock. I want to bring something to the mix. I don't want to always have to come and God has to prop me up and help me here and help me there. I want to bring something. I want to bring something to the house of God. I want that zeal to devour my life. They will only devour us as we pick up that cross in our daily lives. And as we pick up that cross, and then I said, God Almighty will prepare that sacrifice in that daily life that we can come back to these meetings and we'll have the authority to overthrow and to cast down. They're waiting in the shadows this morning. Oh, y'all had another meeting. You had another convention. What has really happened? Well, we prayed for an hour best we could. We heard the man of God preach. Thank God a thousand times for prayer meetings. Thank God a thousand times for all the sermons we'll hear. But God Almighty is requiring and requesting the body of Christ. I said he's requiring us now to rise to the challenge of this generation. He's requiring us to rise to the challenge of this generation. If we don't, we'll lose them. How many have been lost because we, the church, the body of Christ, have not been, and I'm speaking about me now. I'm going to talk about me, but I've not been positioned. If I've ever struggled, if the times I've struggled with my Christianity, it went from the outside, it was from right here. And more times than not, you know what it was? A lack of prayer. Oh, I was praying. I was going to the prayer meetings. I was getting on my knees. I was walking the floor. I was doing the prayerful thing. But heaven wasn't stirred. And hell sure wasn't moved. Amen. Because I didn't come consumed with that zeal that Christ came with. Too busy doing my thing. Too busy ministry. Doing this and that and the other. Oh, you get all caught up in ministry and doing all these things for God. And God, many times I've learned, he said, when you get through, let me know now. When you get finished, let me know. Because all of us, you. It's just you. We always justify it because of all the great works we think we're doing. But God's requiring us in this week. I know it in my heart. I know it in my spirit. He's requiring of us to come aside, to come and bring something to this house, to bring something to the temple of God like Jesus Christ bought that day. He was consumed with the zeal of that house. He was consumed with a passion that that house must be a house of prayer. And the moment that place became what it ought to be, the Spirit of God was able to move back in that house. Nicodemus got saved. The children began to worship God. The Pharisees got all stirred up. What sign showest thou? Oh, they answered him, and he never asked a question. Oh, they answered his actions. They need to answer our actions. Not just what we say, but what we're doing. What we've become. They need to answer what we've become, praise God. We've become that house once again that comes back to the house of God. And we've become that house of prayer. Again. Oh, thank God. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Thank God that he's brought us this far. That he's allowed us to come to this place today. The message we heard last night, oh God, he's the vessel. And Abraham to raise up a nation, of Moses to deliver it, a judgment to preserve it, the prophets to teach it. But thank God, we live in this hour right now. We live right now. We've got to have men to rise up right now, praise God, to be the house of prayer. And out of that house of prayer, God Almighty will move once again, praise God. Hallelujah. It'll be not by our intellect, our ability, and our zeal on the outer side, but an inside passion that is consumed our lives, praise God. Until this house becomes a house of prayer. Can I challenge you today as we leave this house this morning? When we come out today at 10 o'clock, tonight at 7 o'clock, tomorrow morning, we allow the Spirit of God to deal with our hearts. We allow that cross to be more real in our lives than it's ever been before. I'm convinced, I'm a little old-fashioned, I'm convinced, without a cross there is no Christianity. Without a cross there is no Pentecost. Without a cross there is no prayer meeting. Because without that cross you allow brain to prayer meeting tomorrow morning, my enthusiasm, my zeal, my ability, my desire to see God. My desire to see God, my enthusiasm won't move a gnat, won't move nothing off the powers of darkness. But if I've got the zeal that consumed Christ, if I've got the passion that wants to see God the Father honored through Jesus Christ, I will come to this house tomorrow. And the only way I can be everything that God wants me to be is to pick up that cross and not lay it down. Those appetites have got to go. Those desires have got to go. We have justified absolutely too much in the house of God. I'm convinced that just a generation ago, many that call themselves Christians today, a generation ago, people said, you're not even born again. You're not even saved. And we tag them Christians today because of all our good works and all of our good efforts. But if we'll pick up that cross, sir, ma'am, if you'll pick up that cross, you'll know what you are. For if you compare everything to that cross and that man that hung there, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There's another side of that Calvary. It's called resurrection. I said, if we'll be willing to die this week, something will come up in our place. And it won't be us made better. It won't be this old man made better. The creation, I said, the Creator will deal with the creation this week. The Creator will deal with this new creation this week. And through the power of the cross, that new creation will stand up in the blaze of glory as you had in times past. And God will move one more time and we'll see the Nicodemus is saved. We'll see the children back in the house of God like we've never seen before. We'll see what the school of Christ is doing all across this world. We'll see in areas that we never thought possible because we have chosen to embrace the one sign that we need this morning, the cross of Calvary, to make the house of prayer what it ought to be one more time. Will you please, for God's sakes, for Christ's sakes, for the lost sakes, can you and I choose this week to bring something to the temple? Can we bring something back to the house of God and make a difference this week? Amen. Let's stand this morning. Let's just stand. Let's just lift our hands this morning. Let's thank God for the cross. Let's thank God for Calvary this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah.